Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Think you know the Brooks Ghost? Think again. Introducing the all-new, better-than-ever Ghost 16. Now with nitrogen-infused cushioning for lightweight, supreme softness that feels good every step, every street, every single day. So go ahead, take your daily joyride in the all-new nitrogen-infused Ghost 16. It'll turn your everyday miles into everyday endorphins. Let's run there. Head to brooksrunning.com to learn more.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Welcome back to the Red Sox Precap Podcast, the podcast from the Over the Monster Podcast Network, where we recap the series that just ended, preview the series that's about to start for your Boston Red Sox. I'm Harold Keaton-Rocher, joined, as always, by Bailey Von Schneider. Bailey, we have made it, limped our way here to the All-Star break, ready to take a little bit of a breather and digest this first half.
Yeah, limping. That might even be an understatement about what's been going on with these Red Sox. Woo!
Yeah, I think you might be right. We're going to recap the series against the Yankees, preview the series against the Blue Jays, and probably just hit on some general first half themes throughout these as well. So let's dive on in.
All right. So we have for game one, we had Nathan Eovaldi versus Jordan Montgomery. Eovaldi did 4 1/3 innings, 3 runs, 3 earned, 6 hits, 2 walks, 4 Ks. Wasn't the greatest outing for Eovaldi, but, you know, he's sort of getting his footing back after coming off the IL. Schreiber, Whitlock followed with 3 2/3 of scoreless innings. Then Schreiber finished off the last inning in 2/3. Houck came in for the save and blew it by allowing 2 hits and 2 walks while striking out no one. J.D. Martinez, Bogarts, Dahlbeck all had 2 hits, while Devers and Vasquez hit homers. Vasquez just seems to really like hitting home runs in Yankee Stadium. He seems to have the swing for it. Bogarts then scored the go-ahead run on some quick reacting on a blocked ball that got away from Trevino. Brazier came in for the save. So I'm just wondering, what were your initial thoughts on, you know, Eovaldi sort of getting back into things?
Yeah, I thought he looked pretty good. He was on an 80-pitch count, got through 78 pitches in that 4 1/3. Mm-hmm. Looks pretty good. Obviously, this is pretty tough lineup to come back and get tossed into, although he's done pretty well against the Yankees in the past and just, yeah, at least in general. But 53 for strikes, pretty good percentage. It's kind of right where he is, generally right in the strike zone, generally effective. 4 strikeouts and 4 innings, that wasn't so bad. 3 runs, again, tough lineup, but I thought he looked pretty good. The velocity looked good, looked comfortable on the mound. You know, worked through that right up to that 80 pitches effectively. I thought it was a good first start back and kind of good to get his feet back on the mound here before the All-Star break. overall, I thought it was good.
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree, because like you said, first start back, going against one of the most, you know, formidable lineups in the league, even though I have no idea how with some of the names that they got out there. Matt, you know, Carpenter just puts on his mustache where he looks like he passes out candy from a van, and he can just hit home runs and look like he's never played this well his entire career. So it's wild. Pinstripes just give guys... It just hits different for some guys, and I don't get it. You know, come to the Red Sox and you stink. You go to the Yankees and, I don't know, you're like Barry Bonds incarnate. But I thought that Eovaldi handled everything really well, especially coming off of the IL. I have really no worries about what Nathan Eovaldi is. So I for sure think that it's only going to get better from here. The real question was, though, like, what are they doing with Tanner Houck? Like, he has 3 appearances since July 3rd. You know, that's within 17 days. Is this just no saves? Or, like, what's going on? I just feel like, as much as I love Alex Cora, his bullpen management and his loyalty to guys are his giant downfalls. And those are two extremely important things. Like, you know, like, and I don't know, it's frustrating to see how he manages the bullpen sometimes. I don't know how you feel about it.
Yeah, no, this was really confusing. I don't really understand. Like, I mean, I understand you want to save your closer for those save situations, but at the same time, like, you start going like 4 or 5 days without him, you do need to keep him fresh.
Yes.
Because then you run into a situation like this where I was pretty excited here to go. We got Eovaldi, then we go Schreiber, then we go Whitlock, then we go Houck. That should lock a game down. But then we brought in Houck, who hadn't pitched in 8 days, and he doesn't strike anybody out and blows a save.
Yeah.
I'm kind of rusty. Not surprised.
Yeah, yeah. Rust exists.
Yeah. So I don't understand why that was the case. I mean, you got to get him some work to keep him fresh. Mm-hmm. So it was very confusing, and I don't understand it at all. And I think this result was not surprising due to that. So yeah. I don't get it. Very confusing usage. And I didn't know if we had just kind of gone back into the like committee situation.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe like how wasn't the guy when then like the next save situation was going to come up, because he had been going to Schreiber a lot. But then the next true save situation here comes up and he does go to Houck. So then at that point, I'm like, the guy hasn't pitched in 8 days and we got a save situation against the Yankees. Guy's basically coming in cold. What, like, what's going on?
Yeah.
I don't get it.
No, I agree completely. It's a choice. Like, he just makes choices sometimes that I question, and it's tough when you're like, well, you're not the manager of the Red Sox. Why are you questioning things? But there are certain things that, like, even a fan can question. And one of them is, what does Alex Cora do with the bullpen at times? And that's the only thing I really question him on.
Yeah, 2 innings, no strikeouts. That's not very Tanner Houck.
No.
So it was very clearly didn't have it. So it's very lucky that they were actually able to get the win. Especially with their record in extra innings. So this one very easily could have gotten away from them. And I would have put that squarely on Tanner Houck not pitching in 8 days and then coming in and trying to get a save. That's you can't use your guys like that.
No, I agree completely. Like 100% for sure. It's mind-boggling from time to time. But at least Xander Bogaerts' extremely heads-up base running was the reason that we won that game. That was impressive.
That was very impressive. Mm-hmm. And it's surprising with as good of a defense Trevino plays behind the plate for the Yankees, was kind of surprising that even a ball got away.
Mm-hmm.
And split-second decision-making for Bogaerts to get down the line. That was awesome.
Yeah, also Trevino just being, like, great is, like, also, like, I don't get it. Like, I really, really, truly don't understand how the New York Yankees are this good. I will reiterate it all the way to them winning a World Series. It's kind of like in 2013. Like, if you look at that 2013 like World Series team, the Red Sox really had no business winning that World Series. It kind of made no sense. You just had a lot of guys play over their heads, and I think that's what's really happening with the Yankees. But not only are they playing over their heads, they're like record-breaking playing over their heads, and I don't get it. I really don't.
Yeah, you made the comment of like Carpenter being like Barry Bonds. Somebody actually had a tweet, and I apologize, I don't remember who it was, But actually comparing like Barry Bonds and Carpenter aged 36 seasons and they're like identical, which is so frustrating.
How? Like, we're talking about one of the worst hitters in Major League Baseball over two seasons.
Yeah.
Over two seasons. It makes absolute, like, he had to go to the freaking minor. Like, oh my God. Oh my God. It's just, it I don't get it. I really don't. But of course, the Yankees get to, like, enjoy that, you know? If the Red Sox got, Matt Carpenter off of, like, the scrap heap, he probably would still be terrible. You know? I don't know.
Yep.
Pinstripe power is all, like, it's got to be some sort of magic in there. I hate it. I do.
Pretty much.
I hate it.
All right, on to game two, where things didn't really go as planned. Nick Pivetta versus Jameson Taillon. Pivetta, 4 1/3 innings pitched, 7 hits, 7 runs, 7 earned. Another game was 7 earned runs for Pivetta. 3 walks, 4 strikeouts. Those that followed, though, weren't much better. Darwinson Hernandez allowed a run. Ort allowed a run. Sourmuro had a clean inning. Then Davis gave up 4. And Diekman finished off the last 2/3 of an inning without allowing a run. Devers did hit a homer. And that was it for the offense. 3 hits on the day. One of them was a Devers home run in the first inning. And then absolutely nothing happened after that. So, thoughts on Pivetta?
Poop. I don't really know. It's like, it is, he looks, so his season has been absolutely terrible to like looking like a damn ace to like going back to looking absolutely terrible. And it's like, why? Like, and like everything, like his stuff just looks so bad right now too. Like, you know, we're talking about how, you know, like, the incarnate of Barry Bonds within Matt Carpenter. But, like, the pitch that, like, Pivetta threw to him when Carpenter just absolutely launched it, I'm confident my 5-year-old cousin could have done the same thing. It was terrible pitch, terrible placement, and there's no velocity. So I really don't know what the heck is going on. I really don't.
Yeah, it's really frustrating because there was, he actually, you know, felt the issues for why he was performing poorly for his first four, whatever starts it was. And felt the correction that he needed to make, made the correction, and then was really good for a really long time.
Yeah.
Doesn't seem like he has answers for what's going on now.
No.
And maybe it's just fatigue. You know, we saw Waka end up with dead arm and end up on the IL, and maybe this All-Star break is really what Pivetta needed to just kind of take a break and reset himself and figure things out and just kind of get back on track. Or maybe that's something mechanical again that's just – through the, you know, the course of the season, things just got lost and he needs to reset himself. But it's not having the answers for it or really kind of the understanding for it and just continuing to go out there and get shelled is not great.
Mm-hmm.
On the Red Sea podcast that Jake and I just recorded, Jake pointed out that his true stats, true ERA, has now regressed to what his like expected ERA and xFIP were. So that's not great.
No.
You know, it's obviously possible to pitch better than your, you know, tertiary stats stay.
Of course.
Because there's other things involved in that. When I felt that the adjustments that he had made, because he really felt like really pinpointed specifically what it was and then sustained that success for a really long time, felt like that was possible. So I feel like he can do that again, as long as he can figure out, I guess, what the issue is. It's kind of weird for it to just kind of like, with a snap of a finger, end up happening the way it has. And it, I don't feel like where the Red Sox are right now, they don't have a ton of time to try and figure it out. They kind of need him to go back to how he was because there's not a lot of help there in the rotation right now.
No, they're just completely injured, like devastated by injuries right now. And that's a huge factor into certain things. And like, yeah, they are 2 out. And how do you tell your team with guys, like, how do you tell Xander Bogaerts, well, you guys are only 2 out of a playoff spot, you know, but like, we're going to sell the whole team off. Like, you can't. And that's the tricky part, because then you have to try to reload and then get into what, the DS or even the wildcard series and losing that. And like, that's demoralizing too. And then realizing you have the guys walk without getting any true value from them. But at the same time, it is impossible to tell your team 2 games out, we're just going to throw in the towel. You can't. So they have to be, unless by the deadline, they just completely nosedive. There's no way that you can tell these guys we're sellers.
Yeah. Especially with this offense.
Yeah.
It's so good.
Is it? But yes, it is. That's another frustrating thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I guess, yeah. Speaking of the offense, there is one piece of it that is a bit frustrating, which we kind of knew about. The bottom of the order is back to being a disaster. Mm-hmm. In this particular game, they had six strikeouts. The Red Sox as a team had six strikeouts, and they all came from 7-9 hitters. Yeah. In the series, they were 4-30 with 15 strikeouts and one walk. Can anything be done here for the bottom of the order, or is this just we knew it was going to be a black hole, they were going to be hot and cold, and this is just one of those streaks we got to live with, or... can anything be done to help?
Yeah, I don't really even... I mean, I guess we could understand certain things like Jackie Bradley Jr. We knew he wasn't going to hit. We brought him back solely for defense, and that if you can roll with a really solid 1-8, you can deal with an extremely streaky Jackie Bradley Jr. and hope he gets, like, a really big hit like he did in the ALCS in 2018. Like, things like that. But the problem is, I say that... I'm still, of course, team high in Bloom because he's already done incredible things. Outside of him not being able to put together a good bullpen and not really adding more reinforcements, that's 100% on him. And me being a high in Bloom stan, you know, part of the Bloominati, I can even say, yeah, no, he did a terrible job with making this bullpen better. But he also got deep faked by a couple of people. First one was when, you know, the first half of 2021, when Matt Barnes looked like absolutely insane, he got extended. But then you knew he was bad, so you needed to bring more reinforcements into the pen, and you didn't do that. So that is on you. You thought Diekman was going to help. I thought Diekman was going to help. Diekman being this bad is just terrible. You thought Strom was going to help too, but like you still need to be better at that. So like, that's a big problem with Bloom. But the other big deep fake is Bobby Dalbec. Bobby Dalbec for the second half of 2021 looked like Bryce Harper, like, or like Aaron Judge. And you're like, oh my God, is this him? Did he figure it out? Holy crap. We definitely don't need a first baseman. We have like the second coming of Pete Alonso at first base and he's cheap. So I don't fault Ty and Bloom on that. He got deep faked, but literally that's a big problem is how like Bobby Dalbec is so bad at baseball right now. He's terrible. So you have him being so bad. You have Jackie Bradley being just Jackie Bradley. So those are two guys within your lineup that can't do anything to help you. So it's like things like that make it more difficult to construct a team. But at the same time, those guys underperforming put so much pressure on the guys above them.
Yeah. Yeah, they definitely do. And I'm not sure there's anything that can be done internally to help because they just don't have the depth.
No.
They've tried everything they've been able to do, like Franchi and mm-hmm. Arroyo and other internal solutions, and they either haven't worked or got hurt. Mm-hmm. So if they are going to try and figure it out, shake up the bottom of the order, it's going to come from outside the organization. Hopefully they don't just like add a bench bat. I'd rather see them add somebody really good like a Brian Reynolds.
That's going to cost them so much, though. Woohoo!
Yeah.
I, too, would. It was. I would dance on the tops of roofs for that. But I see somebody like more manageable with incoming being like a Josh Bell who slots right into first base and yeah. really adds a great bat to your lineup too. So then you're like, all right, Bobby, your butt's on the bench for forever until we figure out somebody's going to figure out how to trade you or something. I literally do not know. But yeah, but I mean, of course, Brian Reynolds, I would, like, I don't even know the things that I would do. The things I would do if Brian Reynolds or Juan Soto somehow became Red Sox at this deadline. And, like,
oh God, yeah.
You would have to trade the entire farm system to get Juan Soto. I mean, I think it's way more manageable to get, like, a Brian Reynolds. But, yeah, either of those guys would just be huge additions into the Red Sox. But I don't know if we have, like, I don't know if we have what Bloom's trying to build to make those things quite yet. You know, like yeah. the Dodgers can do it because they've just been churning it out and Friedman's already got what he's going. And the same thing with like AJ Preller with like, you know, the Padres, like he's got something that they can keep churning things out and they can pretty much get whomever they want. You know, Red Sox aren't quite there yet, but we're building towards it. Like we really are, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. I think so too.
But yeah, so we can move on to, you know, game three, more of the same terribleness of things. We had Chris Sale go against Gerrit Cole. Sale only lasted 2/3 of an inning. He gave up two hits, three runs, two earned. He didn't walk anybody, and he didn't have any Ks because he didn't really have enough time before he took a screaming 106-mile-an-hour off the bat of Aaron Hicks right to his, what was it, the left pinky, and it is broken to the point of having to have surgery. And I don't know if we even have a timetable quite yet on a return for him. So that's a massive blow. This one is completely out of his control. But it's like a combination of, like, sneezing and breaking a rib and then taking 106 off your hand. Like, it's just, it's, you can't say that that's an accident-prone type thing, but that's like a weird luck factor. It's sort of the same with, you know, Christian Arroyo and getting hit so many times at the plate and breaking things. That's like, that's just some crap luck, too. And it's crap luck for Sale. It's crap luck for the Red Sox. So that was a little devastating. And then, of course, you know, Ryan Brazier does Ryan Brazier things. He comes in. He'll look great for, like, one start, which will make you think, oh, my God, like, is he actually good coming out of this pen? And then, bam, he'll give up four runs. And then Diekman will come in and give up four of his same. And then Schreiber, I guess, sort of was bound to regress a little bit, gave up two of his own. But then at least there are some things to look forward to, like Jeter Downs did it with a double and a dinger, two RBIs, and that, of course, was it again for our offense. But that's something to feel, like, encouraged about, is how good Jeter Downs potentially can be for the Red Sox moving forward. But, you know, what were your thoughts on this this bullpen day that nobody was expecting?
Yeah, initial thought, huge bummer.
Yeah.
Especially given all of the injuries currently to the rotation, getting Sale back was kind of like a, okay, you know, things aren't going our way, but we can breathe. We got Sale back. We're good. And then this just bad luck, rando injury happens, and it's kind of like, or not. Maybe everything is still falling apart. So that sucks.
Yeah.
Then everybody else that followed, there was like five other relievers that got into this game just to kind of get to the end of it. Not really surprised, just emptying it out before everybody gets days off here. It was just kind of a mess, but I get it when you're not expecting it and you have all these days off. So not surprised, but really cool to see Jeter Downs be consistently good against the Yankees. That's fun.
Yeah, I love Jeter Jeter hitting off of the Yankees is always a good thing.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that there is something special about him, and I think that that could be somebody who could be really good for the Red Sox moving forward, or if not, be a good piece to a puzzle to get somebody really good for the Red Sox. Like, you know, the question is now, where do we go within the starting pitching? Like, do we look at a Luis Castillo? Again, somebody who's going to cost a ton from the, you know, the farm system, but if Chaim Bloom thinks that the farm system is at a point where he can start trading off some of these prospects for, like, talent. Like, you have somebody like Luis Castillo who you have through 2023 of controllability, and then he might not be somebody that would be that difficult to sign. He's very good, but you might be able to get him at a pretty good rate. So then if you go into, you know, next season, you'll have, hopefully, knock on wood, a healthy Chris Sale. But, of course, he's getting older. But then if you can add in, like, a Luis Castillo into that, like, that's really good. But again, I just don't know where Chaim Bloom is with his thinking of his farm system and when he's ready to start selling pieces off.
Yeah, that's a good question. I think, I mean, at least for the short term, I think it's a really good thing that Carter Crawford has looked as good as he has lately, because he's going to get a lot more innings. And hopefully, Winkowski has recovered from COVID in time for whenever the next turn in the order will be needed. And we're basically looking at Eovaldi, Pivetta, Crawford, Seabold, and hopefully, or probably a bullpen turn. Waka, I don't think is all that. Well, I say hopefully not all that far off from returning, but we did think he was not going to miss a turn through the order, and then he did. And then we thought he wasn't going to need to go on the IL. And then he did.
Mm-hmm.
So this keeps getting worse. So we feel like maybe he's not that far from returning, but maybe he is. I guess I don't want to hold my breath and he'll just come back when he's back. But that's probably the short term.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like you said, for the long term, that pretty much exhausts all their internal solutions unless they bring Bayo back, which they certainly could and may be forced to do again. But for something more sustainable, they've exhausted all their internal options. So it's got to have to going to have to come from outside the organization.
Absolutely.
And then at that point, I don't think you're looking for like a fourth, fifth starter because you already got plenty of those here now. So I think you'd be looking for something more impactful than that. And then it kind of goes exactly to what you're saying is, are you going to give up the pieces for a guy like Castillo, or are you going to try and land, like I saw a piece today talking about Noah Syndergaard. I wouldn't hate that because I don't think that would cost as much. And he actually hasn't been that bad this year.
And I trust... So it's interesting because like the bullpen has their issues, but I trust pitching coach Bush and like what he can do with the starting pitching. It's been pretty remarkable. Like we're at 48 and 45, which again isn't so bad in the scheme of not being in the division with the Yankees that are absolutely crazy. Like you're thinking like, oh, this is like they're doing okay, and they've been doing okay with AAA guys. And how long can that last is the real question. But then I just feel like Bush works really well with these starters. So if you do bring in Syndergaard, who one hasn't really been that bad, and two can work with Bush, like you might have a diamond in the rough there that can get maybe be the pitcher back to the pitcher that, you know, everybody thought he would be. And I would love that, honestly. And again, it's definitely going to be way more cost effective than going after a Castillo. I would die if we got a Castillo or somebody with controllability who is like an ace light rather than, you know, somebody else. But I would not be disappointed if they did do something with like a Noah Syndergaard type.
Same.
Mm-hmm.
Neither would I. MVP of the series for you.
Yeah, I was definitely leaning towards Devers, but after we were talking a little bit about Jeter Downs and just the game that he had, and we could say, oh, it's one game, but, like, literally nobody's really been hitting, like, you know, outside of Devers and Downs within, you know, this three-game set against New York. I think I'm going to give Downs a little bit of a nod. He's really impressed me with, you know, having the slide in there for the injured story.
I like it. I went with Devers, but I think you're right. Mm-hmm. There was not a whole lot of options for this series, so I don't blame you. All right, that was going to do it for the Yankees. We were going to take a quick break, come back, and preview the series against the Blue Jays.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
All right. You're up to the minute. Standings in the American League East. The Yankees in first, 64 and 28. The Rays, 13 games back in second, 51 and 41. The Blue Jays, 14 and a half back in third, 50 and 43. Red Sox, 16 and a half back in fourth, two back of the Blue Jays, 48 and 45, and then 18 games back in fifth place, game and a half behind the Red Sox, Baltimore at 46 and 46. The only division in baseball where every team is 500 or better. So that is going to be a real fun fight here.
Going the Orioles, man.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah, what a heater.
Crazy things going down in Baltimore.
Normally, we would then review our pitching matchups, but because now everything is being reset, mm-hmm. we have no idea what they're going to be. We can assume Eovaldi is probably going to start game one, but absolutely nothing can be confirmed.
True. No clue. Going in blind.
Yeah. So, but I think we just kind of talked about how shaky things are in the rotation right now, so that was probably a good recap there.
Yeah. Things are scary.
So I guess, yeah, I guess where I guess let's just talk about that on a general confidence feel of the starting pitching as we enter the second half.
Not great with just the fact that it's been decimated by injury. Like, Eovaldi just came back off of injury. Sale just went back on with another injury. We don't know really what's going on with Waka. We don't even really know what's going on with Hill. So, like, those are two things. And those were people that were not only pitching well enough for you, but they were eating innings for you. So now it's like, Cutter Crawford has looked really good. Winkowski has also looked really good. But again, we don't really know when Winkowski is coming back off of the COVID IL. Seabold has not looked good. So Seabold being thrown into this rotation, I feel like that's a game that I'm not confident in winning. But if you can give me like Eovaldi, Crawford, and Winkowski with how well those two have been pitching, I can feel confident with if the lineup isn't Jekyll and Hyde again, if they're actually as good as they're supposed to be. I can feel pretty confident going in with those three guys that I can maybe get a good win from them. So they've impressed me, but I do think that another starter needs to come in here, whether it is a big trade or a smaller trade, something, because we have, it's great that internally we have pretty good options for the first time ever, you know, since what, John Lester, honestly. So I'm encouraged by that, but I still think that changes need to be made in order for them to, again, they're two out. You need to tell your guys that if we make a few changes here and there, that we're going to actually be competitive going forward. So it's going to, until the deadline, it's going to be really seeing what this team is. And I think that's what we have to go into it. Let's see till July 31st the team that we have now and whether or not we think that a few pieces here and there will actually help them, you know, get into the playoffs and then win playoff series.
Yeah. I like it. Lineup for Toronto. they're bringing to town. George Springer, Vladimir Guerrero Jr. batting second, Alejandro Kirk third, Bo Bichette fourth, Teoscar Hernandez fifth, Lourdes Gurriel Jr. sixth, Matt Chapman seventh, Santiago Espinal eighth, Danny Jansen ninth. Very good.
How are they? They're not bad, but how are they not the Yankees?
I don't know.
Like, truthfully, like, this lineup is like what I think the Yankees, like, if you talk to me down the Yankee lineup, I'm going to be like, oh, awesome. Aaron Judge is a stud. Giancarlo Stanton is hit or miss, but Giancarlo Stanton's playing out of his mind. So the problem is that if you were to read the Yankee lineup or you were to read this lineup to me, I would tell you that this is the team that is playing out of their mind, record-breaking, like, types, not the Yankees. So it is wild to me that the Red Sox, who have been dealing with a ton of injury and a ton of, you know, inconsistency in their play, are close to being, like, on par with this team is crazy to me.
Okay, so series prediction.
For me, it's so tough with just not knowing who's going to be pitching, knowing how terribly they have played. But then, you know, we did talk earlier about how it's not just the Red Sox not playing well within their division. It's pretty much everybody aside from the Yankees. So I'm going to go with the Red Sox. I want them to take two out of three. I think they can. I think they're going to start turning a corner, and they're going to start playing like the team that they are offensively, because the offense should be playing well. So I'm going to go with a 2-1 prediction for the Red Sox, and I'm going to go with I think Jeter Downs is going to still be out there, and I think he's going to have himself a really good series, and he's going to start, you know, turning some heads.
I like it. I went 2-1 with the Red Sox, too, just because it's at home. Mm-hmm. So I feel like that gives them a boost.
Yeah.
Or at least I hope. So then I went with Devers as my MVP just because that's feels like a pretty safe bet if he's going well, and so are the Red Sox. So going with Devers, 2-1 for the Red Sox. That's going to do it for us. Thanks for listening. We have some other great pods on this network. I would assume that Bob and Shelley on the Red Sox Prospect podcast are going to do a nice little recap of the draft for you, give you all the great insights on that. So that should hopefully be coming soon. Jake and myself do the Red Seat podcast, which we just did our little mid-season, should the Red Sox be buyers or sellers, and we disagreed on that, so you can check that out as well. And then we will be back again shortly, if my cat stops destroying my furniture, to recap the series against the Blue Jays and preview the series against Cleveland, I believe.
All right.
Thanks for listening. Oh, wait. You can find us both at Over the Monster, where we do stuff sometimes. You can find me on Twitter at Spoken Keats. You can find Bailey on Twitter at Fraulein89.
Yes, you
can. Now, thanks for listening.